Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels is always there. We got you, Sister Emily, and little old me.
All right, well, Sister Emily, what do you got for us tonight?
Sister Emily, where are you? You have to take yourself off of mute. Do-do-do.
All right, Missionary Ken, babe, tonight.
We can serenade her if you want, darling. I'm dreaming of white Christmas.
Well, anyway, so Sister Emily, what do you got for us?
Well, she said in the prayer for all the lost souls, the first responders, for people that have lost loved ones due to COVID-19, for my family, our government, and also for Sister Lila, who I see hasn't hopped on the gospel bus yet. For our ministry, our need for a bus so we can go out and reach the blind. For Brother and Sister Quick and Pastor Bonnet and First Lady Bonnet. And for you.
Amen. All righty. I think she covered everything tonight. Ruth, she beat us to it.
Kenny, I just fixed up a Bible to pass out when I visit a friend tonight, Emily, and I might give it to someone if I find someone who needs this. I have a few of our business cards and stuff, so I thought maybe I'd see if I could help someone tonight as I go visit our friend.
All right. So we'll just pray about that.
Kenny.
Yeah.
You know how normally you allow praise reports?
Well, that's what we're waiting on.
I've got a good praise report for our listeners. After 4 years of being homeless, I've got me a place.
Amen. That's true enough. That's something to keep praising the Lord about. You said that last week, and we hear that this week. Amen. Good to hear. Amen.
And just a little bit ago, before I called in, I met one of my neighbors who I'm going to be able to bless with one of the walkers that I have in my storage unit.
Amen.
You just go, girl. Praise the Lord for his help. It's wonderful. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anything else?
And if you were just ready to yawn or sneeze, we better duck.
Amen.
Oh, honey, I got a praise report and also a request. I've done some research on a certain crime that's been done in the city, and we got a suspect that has been lying through his teeth. I talked to the sheriff and the police and the solicitor. We might have somebody who actually stole a certain person's bike and trailer.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that after the show, Ruth, but we'll just definitely pray about that. All right. So, is everybody ready to boogie?
Let's get at it.
And tonight
let's
also.
Let's have a hoedown.
All right. And like I said, after the music today, everybody stay tuned because there was the question asked a while back about Christmas trees. Tonight we'll be covering that subject in the message that I give, and we'll be discussing whether God supports us as Christians having a Christmas tree, or does he not? So stay tuned for that. Amen. So let's boogie.
How still we see thee lie, although thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark tree shine, the the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. And praise the Savior.
You know, I don't know why I get feeling sentimental about this time every year. But every time I see a Christmas card, I somehow can't help reminiscing about the very first Christmas that you and I spent together. What a beautiful Christmas card you gave me that year. Why, I know you must have looked through thousands of cards to find that wonderful poem that still brings a tear to my eye. I thrill with every word, every line. Guess I'm always sentimental from this time. Pardon me if a tear falls among my Christmas tree. It's the memory of an old Christmas
corner. You hear silver bells
silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. City street lights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene, and above all the bustle you hear. Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611 Ruth at gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611 Ruth at gmail.com. In your subject line, prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, and it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific,
on Monday. Get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the
Ruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show. And the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday, Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the
Squad. With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 4. Jeremiah 10 and verse 4.
They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not.
And as you see, they fasten the tree with hammers, and they deck it with silver and with gold. And so, we'll hear that one more time.
They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not.
And that was our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 4. Amen.
That night in Bethlehem, yes, I remember it well. I guess I never will forget it. It's quite a tale to tell. Oh, I was just a boy of 10. No, I guess I was 11. When I beheld that blessed child sent down to us from heaven. We were closing up the place, that is, my father's inn, when at first I heard a quiet knock and then a louder one again. It was very late at night, and even father was afraid that it might be the soldiers. The tax laws had just been made. He opened up but just a crack. The wind outside was wild, and there stood one man and his wife, expecting soon a child. Please, he said to father, we have come a long, long way. And you're our last hope, you see. We don't have any place to stay. The inn was full, but since we saw the woman wasn't able to sleep out on the streets, Father offered them the stable. And you know, even then, I felt such warmness all around me. But I never could have ever guessed what in the morning found me. I rose at dawn and went outside to feed my favorite cow. Now remember, I was just a boy. I seem so silly now. And I'd almost forgotten we had company that morn, when suddenly I saw it. A baby had been born. At first, well, I was frightened and I almost ran to hide. But you know, something seemed to nudge me, so I stepped inside. The mother gently smiled at me and asked me to come near. 'Twas then I gazed on that child's face. His eyes, they were so clear. That baby looked as though he had the wisdom of all lands stored inside that tiny head. And then the choir began. Yes, it was. There was really angels all in white, with wings, and yes, with faces like I'd never seen so bright. They were angels, and I knew it, but I didn't understand why they were watching over this little stranger in such a strange new land. Well, now I know the child was Christ. He'd come to save us all. And I was one of the first to see him lying newborn in that stall.
Merry Christmas, friends.
Merry Christmas, girls. Say, by the way, did you ever hear the story of how the Christmas rose came to be?
No.
There's a story I must tell you. Not too many know how it goes. It began upon first Christmas night. It's the legend of the Christmas rose. Well, it was a long, long time ago, and from the east there came three wise men, bearing gifts they had brought from afar. They had traveled for a long, long way with their guiding light, a brilliant star. In the distance stood a little shepherd girl whose eyes were sad, for she had no gift to offer to the child. And as her tears fell to the ground, white roses started growing there. And when she placed them by the babe in the manger, it seemed he smiled. As his fingers touched a pale shade of pink there appeared. Just at Christmas time, this flower grows. That's the legend of the Christmas rose.
Born is the King of Israel. They call hid the man from Galilee. But no one seemed to hear his lonely cry. They laughed in Christmas cheer and walked on by. Besides, they watched the clock upon the wall. Put silver in the box and left the hall. Oh, Lord, if you're there, help me in. I need to light a candle for a friend who came from a land across the sea. They called him the man from Galilee. Soon the church was quiet in the night, and one by one the candles. In darkness now, the old man knelt to pray. Forgive them, Lord, they must have lost their way. Oh, Lord, if you're there, hear my prayer. Let the message of your birthday fill the air. Let the lesson of your love help us to see that Christmas is a man from Galilee. Oh Lord, if you're there, help me in. I need to light a candle for a friend who came from a land across the sea. They call him the man from
Galilee. Put on your seatbelts, everybody. Put on your food belts.
Pumpkin pie filling and everyone swilling down eggnog and beer. It's the most fattening time of the year. It's the lip-smackingest season of all. While you're shopping, you're cheating, impulsively eating that junk at the mall. It's the basting and stuffing for tasting, and giblets and gravy will flow. There'll be cookies that Mom baked and a leftover fruitcake from a Christmas a long time ago. It's the scale flattening time of the year. While your diet you're blowing, there's calories going straight down to your rear. It's the scale flattening.
It's like one big bar mitzvah. But listen, you don't have to do that. You could have small portions and make ribbons instead of fudge. You can do it. Please try.
It's too cold to go jogging, too brisk for tomorrow. opening time of the year. All those gingerbread shingles and chocolate Kris Kringles will tremble in fear. It's the most fattening time. It's the bell-blue fattening time. It's the most fattening time.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And
we
support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, now it is time for and his Hebrew word of the week.
And the Hebrew word for this week is Pesach. Pesach, P is in Peter, E is in Edward, S is in Stephen, A is in Adam, C is in Cat, H is in Howard. Pesach, again, the Hebrew word for Passover. In Paul's epistle to the Church of Corinth, he writes, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And in the context of the Torah, the Hebrew Tanakh there in the book of Exodus, we read about the first Passover, the first Pesach, when God brought his people, children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And even so, it is through Pesach, who is Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for the sins of the world and was raised again the third day, you exit the house of bondage, the bondage of sin, death, and the condemnation, the very wrath of God no longer abides upon you. So, God declared, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So the question is, does God see the blood of the Pesach, who is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh? Does he see it on you? Okay, Kenny.
And that was our Hebrew Word of the Week by Tim. And we hope you all enjoyed. Amen.
Forever to be seen. the answer to a wise man's dream, the Son of God is born. On Bethlehem, a star is bright. Shepherds are waking in the night. Angels appearing in their flight. The Son of God is born.
Love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
three French hens,
two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves, partridge in a pear tree.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 12th day of
Of his birth. The joy I feel in look that way? What does Christmas look like, honey? Well, I never realized that I never really seen it till I looked through your eyes. It's just like you describe it. There's beauty all around. What does Christmas look like, honey? Well, it's just the way it sounds.
Hey, Gabriel, what in heaven is it now, Ruth?
Well, I thought we could celebrate Christmas like they do on the Earth.
The Earth?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to celebrate Christmas like they do on Earth.
Why?
Well, they take angels and sit them on top of evergreen trees.
Oh, that would hurt.
And then they put angel hair on the trees.
Oh, no.
And what about those crowded places they call shopping malls where they go and buy all those silly gadgets, then they go home and stuff themselves on turkey and gravy and blah, fruitcake.
Sounds yucky.
And then what about the man in the red suit with the weight problem?
Red suit with a weight problem? What does that have to do with Christmas?
What does that have to do? What on earth has happened to? What does that have to do with Christmas? Sad recite, colored lights blinking off and on. Statues of Santa Claus and reindeer on the lawn. They make people out of snow. They kiss under the mistletoe. Inquiring angels want to know. What does that have to do? What on earth has happened to? What does that have to do with Christmas? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. 90 days, same as cash, have a happy holiday. Worrying, worrying, taking out a tie. What if it doesn't fit to buy or not to buy? They fret over what they give. They fret over what they get. They fret and fret and fret, and yet. What does that have to do? What on earth has happened to? What does that have to do with Christmas? Deck the halls with Ninja Turtles. La 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 la. Fight the crowds and jump the hurdles. La 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 la. Donatello, Leonardo, Raphael and Michelangelo. Super guys and super heroes. La 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 la. Cowabunga.
Cowabunga!
What does that have to do? What on earth has happened to? What does that have to do with Christmas? Have they all forgotten about the newborn king? By getting all wrapped up in a million earthly things that have absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Christmas. Let us receive her
kiss.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I just... I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and... I have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No. We
got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
And tonight we have a special message out of Jeremiah chapter 10. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10, Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 10.
Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, where the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it moves not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanity. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation.
As you can see in this text, something very unique. Here's a question answered by God's word. many people ask the question around this time of year, is it right to have a Christmas tree? Well, this text makes it pretty plain if it's right or wrong. You notice we read first the whole context. But now I want to zero in on three specific verses. Three specific verses in this context. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2, 3, and 4. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2, 3, and 4.
Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not.
Now you notice here, in these verses, it first talks about God says, the heathen. The heathen. Now, who first are the heathen? Who are the heathen? These are people who are not believers in the true God. In our modern day, we would say these are not Christians. These are people who have not accepted Christ. But in that day, in Jeremiah's day, these were people that would be classified non-Jewish. They did not believe in the true God, Yeshua. They did not believe in Almighty God, Elohim. They did not believe in the true and living God. They believed in other gods. And you notice it says they had some customs. Customs. Now, what do we have every December? We have some traditions, or another way of saying it, customs. In our celebrations, customs. Take a look at what their customs were, these heathen. What was the first thing they did? They went out into the forest. Sound familiar? They went out into the forest, and they cut down a tree with an axe. Is this sounding familiar every December? Of course, now we got artificial ones, but we're going to bring them into this discussion here very shortly, so hang on to your hat, Grandma. Hang on to your bonnet. Hang on to your hat, Grandpa. Hold on to it. They take a tree in the forest. They cut it down with the axe, the hands of the workman's hand. And then what do they do with it? At the end of verse 4, they hammer it with nails that it should not move. Ever hear of a tree stand? a Christmas tree stand? And when you're so poor that you can't afford a Christmas tree stand, you take a couple of boards and you nail them to the tree to hold it upright. Any of that sounding familiar? And with the artificial tree, it automatically comes with its own what? Tree stand. And if that ain't bad enough, it says, what do they do with this tree after they've got it on its tree stand? They deck it. They deck it. Deck means is a short version of decorate. Decorate. They decorate it with what? Silver and gold. Anyone know of tinsel? Silver tinsel? Silver garland? Gold garland? Silver Christmas bulbs? Gold Christmas bulbs? They deck it with silver and with gold. Now, who did this? Back to verse 2. It said it was the way of the heathen. This was not the way God's people, the Israelites, were to celebrate, but it was the way of the heathen. Now, the Christmas tree originated with the Druids decorating trees, evergreen trees, and putting candles on the trees to light it. It had nothing to do with the Jewish people who worshipped Elohim. Really prove that we have really done something bad with this Christmas tree. I'm about to play a very popular Christmas carol that everybody knows. And when you listen to the words throughout the song, what is the pronounced refrain? Sounds like they're worshiping it. Oh, even in the title, Oh Christmas Tree. Oh Christmas Tree. So we're going to stop and listen to this song, and then I'll come back with a message here and finish out. Amen.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh,
Now that we've heard that song, think about what it said. And think about what the message has said and what the scripture has said. Oh, Christmas tree, is this what you want to emphasize in your celebration? An emphasis on Christ's birth during this time? It's supposed to be Christ's birthday that you're celebrating? Are you emphasizing Christ? Or are you, as the heathen, with your celebration or your tradition, putting up a tree and decking it with silver and with gold, as the heathen did? Let me ask you tonight, which for you, Christ or the Christmas tree? Take your pick this season. Amen. For Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Holding mine, that he would never forsake me, be there all the time. big hand holding mine. Glad I can reach up and feel a great big hand holding mine. Said he would never forsake me, he'd be there all the time. When I need strength for the valley or the mountain to climb. I'm glad I can reach up and feel a great big hand holding mine.
When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are, maybe near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit.
All right, Ruth, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
Okay, well, the song from the Quicks, of course, everybody knows, that I can reach up and feel the great hand holding mine. I found that over my life is true, along with the poem, because really, they're trying to kind of do a little psychological thing on you, but don't quit. Well, if you got the Lord holding your hand, you wouldn't feel like quitting. You'd be right there with him, and he'd help you all the way through your problems.
So, in a few words, what would you say your answer is?
Basically, stick with the Lord. Ain't no use trying to quit it all. He will help you through everything when you pray to him and stick with him.
So you'd say your answer is hold on to God's unchanging hand and you won't quit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this time, you are still on a roll, 11 for 11. That's right. Keep your hand on God's unchanging hand, and you won't quit. Amen.
Okay, well, I'm just glad to know I got it, so that's cool. I'm happy. Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm glad for you, and if you keep on this roll, you may end up at the number one top dog. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast should walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they should rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of many, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Seven seals are broken,
and the seven bottles are open, and the seven trumpets sound.
lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
And it's the white throne judgment. The Bible speaks about a great white throne judgment. Whether you are in harmony with what I'm about to say or not, there's a need for such a judgment, for there are many things in the world that need to be dealt with and judged. If God had not appointed such a day in his great providential plan, one would hear the nations of this earth crying out, "Oh God, give us a judgment day." We have two versions of scripture, which very plainly set forth the last great judgment, known as the White Throne Judgment, in a detailed, easy-to-understand manner. Let us very carefully read these two verses from God's Word, Scripture. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works." Revelation 20, 12, and 13, KJV. In these two versions of Scripture, we have a clear preview of the last judgment. This judgment will be of such universal importance that centuries ago, God actually translated a human being up to heaven, revealing to him the great courtroom scene, which will be enacted at the end of the ages. That man who is caught up to heaven was the Apostle John. Translation of John is recorded in Revelation 4. Scripture, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Revelation 4, 1 through 2, KJV. John saw the great white throne, around which were gathered the vast multitudes of the unbelievers who lived upon this earth in the end of the ages, they will be summoned to that heavenly courtroom to give an accounting of their life while they were physical beings upon the earth. Scripture, and I, John, saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Revelation 20, 11, 12, and 13, KJV. Many are no doubt accustomed to jury service. While the case is being presented, as a member of the jury, you listen to the evidence on both sides. You hear the counsel for the plaintiff and the counsel for the defendant, and when the trial is finished, you carefully listen to the charge given by the judge. Then, with the other 11 members of the jury, you retire to a private room, and after you've arrived at a well-considered decision, you return to the courtroom to make public the lawful verdict of the entire jury. Well, in this lesson, we are faced afresh with the solemn fact there will be a great white throne judgment in the end of time when the multiplied millions of humanity who have rejected Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior must appear before the great white throne of God Almighty, and the Bible says they were judged, every man, according to their works. This judgment, which will take place up in heaven, will be a final and eternal one. When the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery to Jesus, he wrote their judgment in sand. And when he immediately obliterated it or wiped it out, meaning to say that the Pharisees still had an opportunity to be saved, for at that time the judgment which Christ wrote in the sand was only temporary. That's why it's written in sand. It was not eternal, but the judgment which the Apostle John saw in his vision was an eternal one. It was the white throne judgment. It will not be written in sand. The Bible says the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There'll be no chance to be saved at that judgment. It'll be too late then. After the Apostle John was caught up to the third heaven and beheld the great white throne, he came back down to the earth and was instructed to write all he had heard and seen in a book and send that book to the churches. This was done so there could be no possible excuse for any person not to know all that was going to come to pass in the end of the ages. Scripture, now the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1, 1 through 3, KJV. John saw the unrepentant sinner in a heavenly courtroom. The criminals in that courtroom were all the spiritually dead, human beings from all the past and present and future generations. They were those who had persistently refused to accept God's plan of salvation. There was not a single born-again person among them. That's why John said, I saw the dead. Every one of them were dead spiritually, dead while they lived. They were dead in trespasses and sins on the earth. They were in the last great courtroom, present at the white throne judgment. They could have passed from death unto life, but they refused, and now they stand before the judge of all the earth, ready to be judged, ready to hear their swift sentence pronounced, ready to feel the just verdict of their eternal sentence to be carried out upon them during all the ages of a never-ending eternity. Most of the dead who will be in this great courtroom will be accustomed to the crowd, the reason being that some of them will already have been together in hell, the anteroom to this great courtroom, waiting for thousands of years for their trial to eventually take place in the great courtroom. Now, their day in court will have arrived. They will be called out of the anteroom, hell, into the brilliantly lighted great white throne courtroom. In hell, it was dark and dismal and constantly ringing in their ears, as it were. They could hear the distressful wailing, the cursing, the crying, and the repenting, but too late. There in the pitch-black darkness, they had become somewhat accustomed to their surroundings, but now find themselves standing in brilliant light. This will possibly be the first light many of these criminals will have seen in 1,000 years. They will be awed by the light and the righteousness of the eternal Son of God as he sits on the great white throne, because, you know, my dear friends, Jesus Christ will be the judge at that time. Scripture, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:1 KJV. I wish it were possible for me to dip a brush in enough paint so I could depict that great courtroom scene on canvas in your mind's eye. I wish it were possible for me some way to cause you to visualize that last host and varying variety of beings summoned by the Lord of the earth to stand at the judgment bar of God when the great white throat judgment is convened up in heaven. The Bible tells us that all the dirty, filthy dregs and the offscouring of society will be there. The big gambler who controlled the exchange of stock on the unlawful side of the market, even though he was a big shot in the economic world of his day, will be standing at the white throne judgment. Little race track tout, together with prostitutes, pimp, and those upon whom he preyed in a miserable way to make his living, will all be gathered there, standing in a moment of solemnity as they are about to be judged. Oh, it's true, there'll be some nice people there, some who were refined, well-educated, well-bred, and talented, some who enjoyed the finer things of this life, people who ask no more of life than to laugh, eat, and be merry, for tomorrow they might die. In all probability, there were members of the churches of all denominations in attendance at that judgment, people whose funerals were very largely attended and as reported in the newspapers, whose names were high up on the scroll of fame, people whose bluff and counterfeiting were so good that in the courtrooms then they appeared to be out of place. Judas will be there. Demas, who forsook Paul, will be there. The Bible says all the murderers, liars, thieves, ungodly kings and rulers will be there. Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and every last person who ever died outside of Jesus Christ will be standing before the bar of justice at the great white throne judgment. That's why John says, I saw the dead. He meant the dead and trespasses and sins, those who have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior while they lived on the earth. But more intense, more far-reaching, and more tremendous will be the searchlight of God's understanding on the judgment day when all the hidden affairs of life shall be discovered and laid bare at the white throne judgment. What a time that would be when every sin, every crooked deal, every harsh word, every broken heart, every iniquity of human conception is laid bare for the all-seeing eye of Christ. The man who was unclean and the woman who was impure will stand under a light brighter than a thousand noonday suns, exposed before God. There will be no secrets then. Another thing is that they will not be seated. There will be no comforts there. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, high and low, stand before God. So they're not going to sit. They're going to stand. Revelation 20, verse 12. A great time of reckoning is coming upon those of the human race who have not trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away their sins and are not sheltered in the ark of God's mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ. History tells us that when anyone visited Mussolini while he was the premier of Italy, they could not be seated in his presence. They had to stand. Same situation will prevail at the White Throne Judgment. Everybody will be standing before the throne. They'll be shifting from one foot to the other. There'll be no talking. A heavy, ominous silence will prevail over the whole scene as the ungodly of all ages are judged. Down in hell, they've been yelling and begging for mercy, but now they will be expectantly and dreadfully silent. Down in hell, they've been crying for water, but now an air of suspense, even quenching the thirst of those present, will hang over the whole scene of the White Throne Judgment. In that awesome hour, there will be no thought of water. All thoughts of that kind will tell the way. At the White Throne Judgment, the participants will be experiencing the awful internal whirl interval between hell, second death, which is the lake of fire. Scripture. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 15, KJV. Now, one of the sobering realizations concerning the white throne judgment is that those gathered there will have their memories. The Bible tells us that in hell the dead have their memories. And now in this great courtroom they will still have their memories because they're appearing at a trial. After the trial and after they've been committed to the lake of fire forever, they'll continue to have their memories. This will be a means of punishment for what they have done while on the earth and for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture, which devour widows' houses and for a shoe make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation, condemnation. Luke 20, verse 47, KJV. When sons and daughters meet their father or mother in hell because of memory, they will naturally curse their parents to their faces because they'll loathe them. They'll despise them. They'll no doubt say to their father or mother, I'm here because you didn't tell me about Jesus Christ. You didn't read the Bible to me. You didn't explain and show me what God expected of me. I'm here because of your neglect. You brought me into this world, and it was your obligation to show me how to leave this world so I could go to heaven. This kind of conversation will go on and on, not only in the first hell, but after the white throne judgment is finished and after the participants have been committed to the lake of fire, where they will spend the agonizing ages in God's eternity. During that time, they'll have their memories, and they will be able to recall the past. The memory never dies, my dear friends. If you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man said to Adam, I pray thee, therefore, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brethren. They may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, Old Testament scriptures, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Luke 16:27-31, KJV. From this portion of scripture, we see very clearly that the ungodly dead have their memories. This incident, which actually took place, was recited by Christ himself. So, at the great white throne judgment, all the ungodly of all ages who will be gathered there will have their memories. The great white throne will be the seat of unfallible authority down through the annals of time. When people have been granted governmental authority, they have oftentimes been seated upon a throne. Talking to Joseph, Pharaoh said, thou shalt be over my house. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Genesis 41:40, KJV. History speaks of certain people as being throne-born, throne-worthy, or throne-capable. The room in which the throne is placed is spoken of the throne room. That's why the Apostle John said, Scripture, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God on the throne, Revelation 20:12, KJV. People don't come into the presence of one on a throne and sit down, curl up on a lounge chair, chewing gum, and blowing cigarette smoke into the air. They're usually dressed for the occasion and always stand at attention unless otherwise directed by the one in authority. But the throne which John saw was not the earthly throne or some worldly monarch. It was a great white throne. It was designed in heaven for the King of heaven. It was shining, very brilliant. Light shone from every part of it, the same light that shone from heaven on the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, the same light that shone from the tomb on the morning of Christ's resurrection, same light that shone on the Mount of Transfiguration, causing the disciples to tremble. To the end of the ages, the ungodly of all ages are to gather in front of that lighted throne. The great throne room will be turned into a courtroom. All the eyes of the wicked, dead, standing there, will be fixed on the throne and upon the one seated on the great white throne. There will be no opportunity in that great courtroom to correct the mistakes of this life. A person loses a case in one court, in this physical life, he can take it to another one. So it finally comes to before the U.S. Supreme Court. If no satisfactory decision is reached before in the lower courts, but at the great white throne judgment, the ungodly will be standing at the Supreme Court of the universe, and this will be their final hour of judgment. My main purpose for including this subject as a lesson is to caution you to make sure yet your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so you will not have to go to the white throne judgment to be tried for your sinful, unrighteous life. But all your sins we put under the blood of Christ in this life. At the white throne judgment, the judge will be an impartial one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some judgeships today are filled by political appointments. In some cases, favoritism and bribery have been uncovered. By the day of the white throne judgment, the judge will be an impartial one. He will not have been elected by human machinery, because he existed before the world was ever created, and he will exist after this earth was burned up, as it's become independent of man, angels of the devil. And that day when the ungodly are judged by Christ, there will be no inequalities of human society manifested. It won't make any difference whether you were a carpenter, a brick mason, a taxi cab driver, college professor, an airplane pilot, common peasant working for a few pesos a day, or a multimillionaire riding around in your chauffeur-driven, air-conditioned Rolls Royce. The judge on the bench that day will be an impartial one. The Bible says it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Acts 10:42, KJV. The judge on that day will be a non-political one. He was neither Democrat or Republican, so political affiliation will have no influence upon the judge at that time. Furthermore, he was not a member of any secret society while here on the earth, so your password will have no influence on him. Anyway, they left that your Pell emblem on your coat in the casket when they buried you after you died. So you can't expect any favoritism to be shown you by the judge in that respect. The method of judgment is described in this manner. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Revelation 20:12, KJV. Everything a sinner does in his life is recorded as evidence against him. Many sinners think and feel their sins forgotten and their sins forgiven. This is absolutely incorrect and is not backed up by the Word of God. Regarding the white throne judgment, the Bible says the books were open, meaning to say there were more than one book available containing important evidence to decide the fate of the individual standing at the white throne judgment. There will be a book containing a record of the sins of the individual. All of the sins committed as a young child will be recorded. All the sins committed as a young college student will be recorded. All the sins committed in young adulthood will be recorded, as well as those of middle life and the old age up to the time of final expiration here on the earth. They'll all be recorded, and the record will be official. Of course, you may say, I did certain things that nobody knew anything about, such as committed adultery, setting fire to a place of business so I could collect the insurance, or taking a certain amount of money out of the cash register on the night shift at the restaurant. Nobody ever knew about those things, and no record was ever made of them. My friend, let me tell you, God knew about those things, and a record was kept by him. In fact, every thought, every desire, every act of your heart is all recorded up in heaven, and at the white throne judgment, that evidence will be presented against you. The Bible says the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20:12. Secondly, the book of your memory will present evidence against you. Your power of recollection will be working. All the sins you've ever committed in this life, whether they be scattered to the right or to the left, will not pass down the center aisle of your memory. In that momentous hour, there will still come a mountainous heap of damning evidence to help convict you of your life of sin in this earth. The memory is with you now. If you're not born again, it will go with you after you die, and it will remain with you at the white throne judgment. The sentence is passed, and after you've been thrown into the lake of fire, it will continue to be an integral part of your personality, functioning day by day, and reminds you of your life of sin. Thirdly, the book of life, which should be translated the Lamb's book of life, will be opened at that final hour. A complete search of the Lamb's book of life will be made to determine whether or not your name is recorded there. There will be no hurry. There will be plenty of time. In fact, as I have searched the pages of God's Word for more than a quarter century, I have never been able to find one sentence of Scripture that sheds any light on the time element or duration of the white throne judgment. It was never everybody who has ever lived through all the ages of time since Adam and died outside of Christ, whether before Calvary or after Calvary, died unrighteous so they might be judged or must be judged at the white throne judgment. If they were saved, their names would have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. If they were never saved, they were unrighteous, and their names would not have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, a complete search of that book will be made. Their names are not found recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sentence or condemnation will be passed upon them, sentence which will have eternal consequences. If your name hasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life at this very moment, I pray you'll not let the clock strike midnight this night until you have the eternal assurance of God, the Father, that you are a child of his. God wishes to set forth the fact that in the judgment day, the good are to be divided from the bad. How is this to be done? We look at a fishing scene in the days of Christ, and we see a group of hardy, long-bearded fishermen standing waist-deep in water. Their sleeves are rolled up, the boat has just come in to shore, and they are ready to unload their catch, at the same time tossing the worthless, useless fish back into the water. As the fishermen put their hands down into the squirming mass of fish, they pick out those tasteless, non-edible fish and throw them back into the water, gathering the good fish into a container where they'll be saved and used for the good of mankind. The Bible says the same thing will happen in the end of this age. The bad he will cast away and the good he will keep. Scripture, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2, King James Version. Scripture, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude verses 14 and 15. Okay, JP. At the white throne judgment, the judge will be a just one. What would you think of a judge today who would take his place on the bench and say, let us all these criminals go free, without regard to their character or their present condition or their state of mind? What would you think of a judge who would say, open up all the prisons and let all the outragers of society be liberated? I would say that such a judge was insane and should be impeached and he himself put behind bars. The judge on the day of the white throne judgment will be a just judge. He knows all the laws, and he will indicate them. After everyone has had an impartial, authoritative, and just trial, after the books of their memories, records of their sins, and the Lamb's Book of Life have been searched, and all the evidence presented, then the verdict will be given, which will be guilty. The only thing facing unrighteous mankind will be the passing of sentence and imposing the punishment. The Bible is a description of what will follow such judgment. And they were all judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 13 to 15. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel like going out and winning souls. We don't know how long we've got before the Lord comes. This judgment will be after that, and it's going to be tough. Can't you see ungodly standing in that momentous hour on the edge of eternal doom, with no possible means of escape? The gates of eternal darkness will soon be opening to them. I can hear one cry out, Jesus called, the Spirit invited, Christians warned, Church of Jesus Christ begged me to come to Christ. All Christian influence pled with my soul, but here I am, unpardoned, and this is the judgment seat. I've been condemned forever. It's too late now. It's all over. The door is about to shut behind me, and it will last forever. I'll be last forever. That sad and mournful scene will take place at the white throne judgment. In that hour, Jesus Christ will say, I'll be thrown into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41, KJV. Another scripture, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Revelation 14:10-11. But the sentencing of the ungodly of all ages is over. The Bible says the books will be closed. Christ the judge with outstretched hands of omnipotence says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 65:17. While the white throne judgment is going on, this earth and the heavens will be destroyed by fire as described in 2 Peter 3:10-12. At the conclusion of the white throne judgment, after the conflagration of the earth and the heavens, God will create a freshly remade earth and heavens. The godly of all ages, beginning with Adam, and including the last righteous person who will live upon this earth and then come back to the beautifully remade earth to live forever and ever with Lord Jesus Christ in the holy city of God, on that new earth, there'll be no memory of the white throne judgment or anything that preceded the white throne judgment during a person's entire lifetime. That's why it tells us in the book of Isaiah, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 65:17, KJV. Are you trusting in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away your sins and unrighteousness so you need not be at the white throne judgment? It's the only means of escape from that awful judgment time. If not, won't you trust him now? And the next one has the lessons is in the beginning.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment. where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today, I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it stream heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES space RADIO. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES space Radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you and me.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to have you give us a closing prayer, and we'll say to those listening, we hope you'll join us tomorrow night for Jumbo Braille Program, 9 p.m. with Dr. Doug Quick, as he'll bring us another great message and hopefully a good praise report on his wife and how she came through her surgery. Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank you for the program tonight and hope everybody had a good time. I need prayer, Lord, because I got a real bad headache and dizzy spell right now, and I'm just going to have to go to bed. I know you'll be with me, Lord, so we just hope everybody enjoyed the music and hopefully people got saved. We love you so much, Lord. Amen.